love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the earth to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. That's why we sing, God, to glorify you, to praise you, to lift your name, the name above all names, on high, Lord. We praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. Hosanna, we praise you, Lord. Come quickly, Lord. We long for you, Jesus. We long for you.
Praises rising, eyes are turning to you. We turn to you. Hope is stirring, hearts are yearning for you. Yes, we long for you. 'Cause when we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away, washed away. Hosanna, Hosanna, you are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hosanna, Hosanna. Welcome you here, Lord Jesus. Hear the sound of hearts returning to you. We turn to you. In your kingdom, broken lives are made new. You make us new. 'Cause when we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away, washed away. Hosanna, Hosanna, you are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hosanna, Hosanna, come have your way among us. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus. Hosanna, Hosanna, you are the God who saves us,
worthy of all our praises. Hosanna, Hosanna, come have your way among us. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. You are the God who saves us. And we welcome you here this morning. Lord, we worship you, God. We humble ourselves before you this morning. And we worship you, God. You are the God who saves us from our sin, Lord. And sets us free from ourselves, Lord. To fill us with your Holy Spirit. To renew us. To refresh us in your presence, Lord. We love you this morning, God. Hosanna, Hosanna. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you are the light of the world, Lord. Your light shines in the darkness, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes and let me see. This heart adore you, hope of a life spent with you. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God, you're altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all came poor. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God, you're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Lord, you are wonderful. You are mighty. You are holy and worthy of praise. That is why we worship you, Lord, for who you are. You are worthy of all praise. Hallelujah. Amen, church. Amen. You are worthy, God, and we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Thank you, Lord. As the ushers come forward, is it good to worship the Lord or what, huh? Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you for who you are, Lord, for your faithfulness to us, God, your faithfulness to your word, that you are true and just and holy. Now, as we worship you, God, with our song and praise, receive these tithes and offerings as a sign of worship to you, Lord, saying, take this and use it for your glory. May you be blessed and glorified through it. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, we do surrender our lives to you, God. We surrender our wills to you. For we are created to worship you, Lord. And that's what we will do this morning.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender all. To him I freely give. Trust him in his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. Surrender all to Jesus. I surrender humbly, bow his feet. I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus. My blessed Savior.
do, Lord. We humbly bow before you, Lord, and surrender ourselves to you, Lord. Come and fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we may truly know that we are yours, Lord God. We love you this morning, God. Prepare our hearts to receive your word, Lord God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, happy Labor Day weekend, everybody. Hallelujah. Well, I am given the privilege and honor to bring the word this morning again. Pastor Mark's out of town performing a wedding, so we just pray Lord's blessing upon him and what he's doing this weekend. And it's good to see everybody here. I know it's a holiday weekend and all, and I appreciate everybody coming this morning. Lord, we worship you, God. We truly praise you this morning, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that you would just free our hearts and free our minds, Lord God, this morning to hear from you and what you would speak to us through your word this morning out of the book of Hebrews, Lord, that we could truly know our position in Christ that you've given us through the blood of Jesus. So, Lord, I just pray your blessing upon the service this morning now and on everyone here. In Jesus' name, amen. If you were with us a few weeks ago when I preached, a couple weeks ago, I preached out of the first chapter of Hebrews, and I'd like to continue on that study this morning as we dig deeper, further in the book of Hebrews. And I'll be preaching from the text out of Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25, if you want to open up your Bibles to that, Hebrews 10. Verses 19 through 25. In a quick recap from the first chapter of Hebrews, I'd just like to share in recapping that the book of Hebrews was written to the first generation church, the Jews that had come to Christ, that had come to realize that Jesus Christ was their Messiah and their Savior. But the misconception with many of them was that Jesus was going to be a ruling king on earth, that he was going to be a mighty man to set up his kingdom there and now. And as time went on, these Jews that accepted Christ
were falling under persecution from the Jewish leaders, that they were being misled. So they were falling under persecution, and they were suffering great hardship. And many of them were questioning their faith in Christ. But the author of Hebrews, the whole intent of the book was to encourage them with sound theology of who God is, what God's plan is for His people, and who Jesus truly was, their Savior. And they had all the confidence to put their faith in Him because He was who He says He was. But unfortunately, like many of us, it's no fun to fall under condemnation. It's no fun to be ridiculed. It's not encouraging to suffer hardship for your faith. And what was happening was most of these converts were returning to the bondage of the law, returning to Judaism that they were set free from, just to escape the condemnation and the hardship. But what they were doing, they were turning their back on their Savior who truly was setting them free in the long run. So the whole book of Hebrews is filled with theology. Basically, what theology is the study of God, understanding who God is and what His plan is for us. So the first chapter and the first few verses that we reviewed last time I preached explained in the Old Testament, God chose to speak to His people through prophets and through angels and through visions. But now, since Jesus has come, God has chosen to speak to His people through His Son. We have complete confidence that we can trust Jesus Christ, because the Scripture tells us that He is the fulfillment of the law. He is the complete representation of God the Father in the flesh. The Bible tells us that He is the Word that became flesh. The very Word of God that we study, the very essence of who God is completely found in the person of Jesus Christ. And so as we study further on in Hebrews, we're going to find out that it is so important to understand and have a sound theology of what we believe and why we believe it, so we aren't misled. Because we all know there are so many philosophies out there in the world. There are so many theologies that people will say is the truth. But we must understand the true biblical theology of who Jesus Christ is, so we're not misled, as the early church, many of the early church was. So if you have your Bibles opened up to chapter 10, starting with verse 19. Since therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, a brand new and living way which He inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, His flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our assembly together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The importance of theology. As Christians, we must realize that Christ is superior over all religions. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. And Jesus Christ did live, die, but most importantly, rose again. There are so many world religions out there. So many people saying they know the way. But Jesus is the only one that rose from the dead and is alive today. All these other religions, cult movements, philosophies, they may have elements of truth in them, but none of them have a risen Savior that was crucified, dead, and then rose from the grave and is alive today to live forevermore. Amen, church? This is the Christian philosophy, the Christian theology that we must understand and hold fast to, so we're not misled by any other type of thought or philosophy. Jesus Christ is God's perfect sacrifice for sin. No other religion in the world offers you the forgiveness of sin. They may offer you self-help motivation. They may offer you a plan to get to heaven. But no other religion offers you the ability to have your sin forgiven and for your soul to be cleansed free. Only Jesus Christ can do that. And Jesus Christ will come again to judge the living and the dead. 1 Peter 4:5. This is a truth of Christian theology that we must hold on to. Jesus Christ is going to return again to the earth for his church. Amen. And all men, Hebrews tells us that it is appointed unto men once to die and then face judgment. It's just the truth of the matter. Life is a gift. God loves us and has given us this gift of life. And he wants to be the center point of that life. But for those who reject his son Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for sin, will face judgment and unforgiveness. But those of us who have received Christ, we will not face judgment, but we will face a loving God who embraces us because we are cleansed free by the blood of Jesus. Has nothing to do with what we have done. It has everything to do with what Jesus has done for us. And as we read in the scripture, this is the new position we have in Christ. Jesus has removed that veil that the Hebrews, the Jews, experienced, the separation from God in the holy place. Jesus himself tore down that veil that separated man from God with his own body. The scripture says that veil was his body. By sacrificing himself on the cross, by being obedient to his Father, to be the spotless Lamb of God, as the sacrificial Lamb, once and for all man's sin, by his obedience and the shedding of his blood, we are made clean. We are forgiven, past, present, and future, once and for all. There is no other remedy coming. There is no other solution after Jesus. Jesus is the fullness of God's plan of salvation. And because of him shedding his blood, we can walk boldly before the throne room of God, because God doesn't see our sinful nature. He sees us washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? This is sound Christian biblical theology. And it's so important for us, as the author of Hebrew is instructing us and encouraging us and teaching us, to know what we believe and why we believe it, so we will not be deceived or misled. I tagged this sermon with a little name, Theology or Therapy? Theology or Therapy? And the only reason I thought of that was the modern evangelical church in recent times has often pushed biblical theology aside for self-help therapy. How many sermons have you heard that were titled, "How Can I Improve My Life? How Can I Improve My Marriage? How Can I Improve You Fill in the Blank?" Now, it's true, we all want to improve our lives. But as I study the book of Hebrews, I think it's more important, how do we improve our relationship with God? And by improving our relationship with God and drawing close to Jesus, then our life will improve. The therapy will come through Him, for He is our healer. Amen? He is our restorer. He is our giver of joy. He is our provider of love and security and salvation. Amen? Are you with me? We all want to improve our life. But let us work on improving our relationship with our Creator God. Amen? This biblical truth of what we believe will impact how we behave. What we believe will impact on how we behave. If we spend our days listening to talk radio, if we spend our mornings watching the talk shows, if we listen to the world, what's going to happen? We're going to be influenced by the world. But if we spend our mornings in the Word, if we spend our time praying unceasingly, as the Scripture encourages us to do, building our relationship with our living God, who is alive, who wants to be Lord of our life, and He wants to be the center focus of our life, who are we going to be influenced by? Him. Amen? So we have to be very cautious on who and what is filling our mind with their philosophies. This is what was happening with the early church. They were holding on to the Judaistic law, the way the law was given and the procedures of that religion. They wanted to receive Jesus as their Savior, but they were finding it hard to separate themselves from the influences of their past. And many of them, too often than not, were falling away from Christ and returning back to the bondage of the law. So it is very important for us to understand who God is. And it is important to understand who we are. And mostly important, what He has done for us in Christ. This is the foundation for how we should live as Christians. Understanding our position in Christ is the basis for our practice in daily life. Understanding our position in Christ is the basis for our practice in daily life. As we study the book of Hebrews, the author spends the first 9 chapters building the New Testament doctrinal foundation of this Christian theology. Remember, this book is written to these Jews that have been converted to Christ. So the book is building a foundation for them to build their new faith upon. The truths of God. The truths that God loves them. And the truths that their new position is in Christ and what Christ has done for them. Christ has made them clean. Christ has forgiven their sins. Christ has saved them from who they were and has given them a new life in Him. And He has done the same for us. We understand that Jesus is superior to all the prophets of the Old Testament. Jesus is superior to all the angels. And most importantly, Jesus is superior to all created things. And that includes the law. Jesus is superior to all of that. From chapter 5 up until chapter 10, verse 18, the author shows how Jesus is the superior priest. He is higher than the priesthood of the Old Testament. And this was so hard for the Jews, the early church, to understand. Because where the Holy of Holies was, the veil that separated the people from the Holy God, only the high priest could enter the Holy of Holies. And that was only once a year to present the blood offering for their sin. But see, by Jesus being obedient to his Father and sacrificing himself for the sins of all the world, he tore that veil down and has given us this new position that we can enter the Holy of Holy presence of God with confidence, with faith, so we can experience his love. We can experience his relationship. We can experience the comfort of our Heavenly Father, not by what we have done, but because of what Jesus has done. His blood has torn down that veil. There is no longer a separation between sinful man and a holy God, all because of Jesus Christ. That is the new position that Jesus has given us in God through himself. So we should encourage one another to love and good deeds because of what Jesus has done, the scripture tells us. So often and not, our churches are filled with dissension. Our churches are filled with backbiting, with gossip. But what God wants for us is to be one in him. Because not one of us is better than any other. And not one of us here has the power on themselves to forgive sin. No one has made you. You are not righteous. You are not righteous. I am not righteous. We are made righteous because of the blood of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. We are all righteous before our Heavenly Father. And when our Heavenly Father looks at us, we are all the same to him. There is no one better than another in the eyes of our Heavenly Father. If you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you have repented of your sin and received the sacrifice of Christ's blood on the cross, you are a new creation in Christ. Your past is forgiven. Your future is forgiven. Your present is forgiven. Jesus Christ's blood was paid and shed once and for all. We are made new creations in Christ because of what he did on the cross. Amen, church? This is sound biblical theology. And in this sound biblical theology, we will find that therapy that we need, that we desire. The therapy to improve our lives, to find love in our hearts for one another. That love comes from our Heavenly Father, whose very nature is love. 1 John tells us that God, his very nature, his very being, his essence is love. And it was because of that love he sacrificed his only Son to forgive us of our sin, but to give us a new life that we could love one another. Amen? And in Christ, we can hold fast to the confession of our hope, even in times of trial and hardship. This new position in Christ gives us the hope that we can confess Jesus as Lord, even in the face of persecution, even in the face of hardship. When trials come, people turn their back on us. We lose friends because of the decision we've made to follow Christ. He will give us the strength, the courage, the confidence to stand firm in our faith and say, Jesus, I believe in you. I will follow you no matter who follows you. If no one else follows you, I choose to follow you. Because of what you've done for me, you have forgiven me of my sin. I will worship you. I will serve you. I will praise you. I will follow you. Amen? This is sound Christian theology. This is the new position we have in Christ. This new position in Christ that we have because of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross gives us faith that we can not only confidently enter the holy presence of our Heavenly Father, but we can draw near to Him and know and have the assurance He will draw near to us. It is His promise. Following Christ is a relationship that God wants us to have as our Heavenly Father. He doesn't force Himself upon us, but He longs for us. So as we have the confidence to enter the Holy of Holies, the holy presence of our Father, we can be assured if we draw near to God, He will draw near to us. It's a promise in His Word. It's a promise that He gave us. It's His very nature. Those of us that are parents, or those of us who are grandparents, like myself, it is so wonderful when you lean into your spouse and they lean back. There's no bitterness. There's no dissension between you. But we've all have experienced that. Hurt feelings. You've leaned into your spouse and they give you the cold shoulder. Or grandchildren, or even your children, you may have had to discipline them for something that they did, and you lean into them to give them a hug, and they you know, give you the hand. God will never do that to us. His relationship with us is always open arms, always love. God loves the whole world, John 3:16 tells us, even those who reject Him. But because God is holy, there has to be a sacrifice given for sin. And that sacrifice was in His Son, Jesus Christ. So that is why it is so important that we receive His love, that we receive His gift of His Son, the perfect sacrifice, the spotless Lamb of God that was given to us to forgive us our sin, so that barrier isn't there between us and our Heavenly Father. God will never give us the cold shoulder. He will always welcome and embrace. If you draw near to God, He will draw near to you. I read a little illustration in this study, and probably many of you heard the story. It's just about an elderly couple on a Sunday afternoon drive. And the wife said to her husband, "You know, when we were younger and dating, we used to sit so much closer when we used to go on these drives." And then the husband is driving. He goes, "Well, I didn't move anywhere." It was her that had just over the years inched her way over. It wasn't a big deal. But when we're young and in love, you know, your woman slides in beside you and you drive around. That's the way it is with God. God hasn't gone anywhere. It's us that has separated ourselves from Him. But Jesus has given us the ability to have the confidence and the reassurance that we can draw near to Him. And He will draw near to us. This is true biblical theology, that God is love and that God does love us. We don't have to fear God like the high priests of the Old Testament. They actually feared going into the Holy of Holies. Because if you remember, if anyone touched the Holy of Holies, they would die. And in the Old Testament, no man was able to see God, or they must die. But Jesus is God. That whole system was set up because of man's sin, because of man's rebellious attitude towards God. But God, in His infinite love, made a way by sacrificing His Son to break down that barrier, to remove that veil, and to restore us to Himself. That is God's ultimate plan. When He created us, when He created Adam and Eve, He didn't create a separation between them. The Bible says that He dwelt with them in the garden and fellowshiped with them. But they chose to sin. And that sin is what caused a barrier between creation and the Father. But sound biblical theology is that God restored us to Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul says It's not a burden for me to repeat these things to you. It's important to hear them over and over again. In the world, you've heard people say, what's the big deal about Jesus? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But the big deal is, Jesus is the big deal. He is the fulfillment of God's plan of salvation. The fullness of God is revealed in Jesus Christ. So yes, call us Jesus freaks. Call us over-the-top believers in Jesus. But the truth of the matter is, Jesus is God and the fulfillment of all that God is. No other religion can claim what Jesus can claim. No other prophet of the past is alive like Jesus is alive. No other religious leader can offer you forgiveness of your sin. Only Jesus Christ can. Amen? That is the big deal. That is the sound Christian theology that we need to be grounded in. We must know what we believe and why we believe it, so we are not misled. It's because of what Jesus did on the cross, not by anything that we had done, that we can say, Abba, Father, and know that God the Father will draw near to us as we draw near to Him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Where are you today in your walk with Jesus? Are you looking for answers from the world to improve your life? Are you seeking something that you're not finding in Christ? Are you drawing near to God? Are you seeking Him with your whole heart? He promises to never leave us nor forsake us. All the answers that you're seeking in your life, love, security, forgiveness of sin, is found in Jesus Christ. In a nutshell, that is what the book of Hebrews is telling us. It's a hard book to understand. It takes time to really dig in to study, because he goes into depth to explain to the Jews everything that they were experiencing in the law is fulfilled in Christ. We don't have to try to achieve God's approval anymore. We don't have to feel like we have to earn God's love and acceptance, because God gave us his love and his acceptance in his Son, Jesus Christ. God did all the work to win us back to him. God deserves all the glory, all the praise. And all he wants from us in return is love. To love your neighbor as yourself. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. By doing these two things, Jesus said, you fulfill the whole law in the prophets. The whole law from the Old Testament is fulfilled if you love God with your whole heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. This is our new position in Christ. How are you doing with that? How are you doing with loving your neighbor? How are you doing with loving your fellow church member? How are you doing with loving your family? This is the most important aspect of our relationship with God. Jesus loved you by sacrificing himself on the cross, and he's asking you to love God in return for what he has done for you. Amen? So as we celebrate this Labor Day, let's realize the labor that Jesus put in for us. The work he did on the cross to save us from our sin, to give us a new hope, a new life, Today could be a new beginning for anyone here who wants a new beginning. Maybe you got saved 20 years ago. Maybe you were raised in the church. Maybe you've gone to this church for 50 years. But how are you doing with your walk with God? You might know Scripture like that. You know, God wants us to know Scripture, for the very Word is the essence of who He is. But if you're not loving your neighbor, what good does rattling off Scripture? Isn't that what the Jewish leaders of the Old Testament that Jesus rebuked did? They were filled with religiosity, pious. Look how religious I am. But yet put burdens on the people that they couldn't live up to. Criticized, judged. God wants us to be filled with His Spirit. He wants us to know His Word. But more importantly, wants us to be filled with the love of Christ. For this fulfills the whole law and the prophets. Love that He demonstrated for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the new position that we have in Christ. That we would receive that forgiveness, that we would receive His love, and that we would walk in confidence and in faith and draw close to Him, knowing that He will draw close to us so we could love one another and encourage each other in doing good deeds. Encourage each other to fight the fight. Run your race. Keep your eyes on the prize. Amen? Amen. The closing song we're going to do is called I Give You My Heart. Let us just take a few minutes this morning and reflect on what Jesus has done for us and the gift of love and forgiveness that He has given us. And let us look at ourselves and say, Jesus, I do. I give You my heart afresh this morning. I pray, Lord God, that You would come in. And if bitterness has risen up in your heart, if unforgiveness has risen up over the years for whatever reason, I just pray right now, Lord, that You would fill us with Your Holy Spirit and allow us to acknowledge our new position in Christ because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. And fill us with Your love, that we could love You and love one another the way You want us to. Amen. As the worship band comes up to join me, let's prepare our hearts just to sing this last song. I give you my heart. Take a few minutes and focus on this as the Lord would draw us, as we draw near to Him. Lord, I give You my heart.
As we draw our time together to a close, let us hold fast to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Father, would you bless us as we leave this place, bless each one of us, and help us as witnesses to the world that we indeed do hold fast to the hope that you provide, that it is ours. In Christ's name, amen.